Good morning. Greet each one in Jesus' name. There's God's blessing on each one of you that is here today. To have been blessed to be here and encouraged by the thoughts that we can enter in, we can draw near to God. Especially glad to see each one of you youth here this morning. I do kind of have a message directed to you, so you can prepare for that. I'm not sure what I would have done if I would have got here and there's no youth here. I didn't even think about that. I was expecting to see you here. So God bless you for that. If I recall correctly, the last time I brought a message, I think the crowd here was a little slim, bit of a slim gathering, and I know maybe it is a little more so today as well, and I'm not sure if it's the same ones missing today or not, but by way of explanation, I've been endeavoring to look at some of the commands to remember in the Bible. And I had started there with remember Lot's wife. And I had looked at another one, the last message, and I'm trying to do a little bit of a series, maybe you could say, on looking at some of these commands, some of these exhortations we have to remember. So maybe you've about guessed where I'm going with this, or which one I've chosen today, but it is taken from there from Ecclesiastes 12, very familiar verse, I think, to us. You can turn there. The first verse, Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. That's our thoughts here this morning. For a title, I've simply chosen the words, remember now thy Creator. And we want to look this morning at words of wisdom from the preacher. I believe that's what Ecclesiastes means. The preacher. And to be sure, it's not the preacher that's standing before you this morning, but a much wiser and greater one that these words of wisdom come from. I believe Solomon was the one that wrote this. The Bible tells us that he was the wisest man that ever was and ever will be. I think that's not. I believe is God speaking to Solomon there. I don't have the chapter or the reference written down, but he said, I'm going to give you such a wise and understanding heart that there has been none before like it, and there will be none after you. And so Solomon was the wise man, and we want to look at some of the wisdom here that he has written, and there's much wisdom that we find, much that we benefit from the books of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes that he wrote. And this verse here is, I believe, addressed to youth. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. So, as I said, I'm going to direct this a bit to you youth this morning. Maybe you could say the term youth is maybe just a little vague. Maybe it's hard to know who all I would apply to. A quick search of the definition for youth that I found was the time between being a child and an adult. And as I thought about that, I don't know if it helps a lot. You know, sometimes you wonder if some of us actually made that transition, but I'm talking mostly about myself. Don't be offended by that. But I found that there's no universally agreed definition of youth, of the youth age group. But I did find, for the purpose of statistics, the United Nations, they define youth as those persons between ages 15 and 24 years old. So that's kind of our reference point today, no doubt, isn't it? However, I found I also found in my studies that the Greek culture, I believe it was like in Timothy's time, Paul writing to Timothy, you know, he talked to Timothy, he talked of him being a youth. We're going to look at that verse a little later. Let no man despise thy youth, and so on, he said. I found that in that time, someone could be, it was normal for them to be called a youth until they were 40 years old. That was, I think, the cutoff. So I tend to appreciate that view, maybe for obvious reasons this morning. But however we see it, where we fit in there, I think that we can apply what the Bible says here to youth in one way or another. And, you know, we're not going to maybe make this disclaimer. We're not going to nearly say everything that we should say. And most of what I share isn't going to be something new, most likely this morning. But it'd be hopefully reinforcing what you already know. Let's read a couple of these verses. I know it's very familiar. I had contemplated just skipping the reading, but I think it's good to do that. I think we'll read verses 1 to 7. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light, I believe these next couple of verses describe old age and some of that. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. And the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. And he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way. And the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. I believe there's much more that we could read here that would be beneficial. And I meant to say before I read, if you notice, I believe verses 1 all the way to the end of verse 6, I believe that is one sentence, or at least one train of thought, if you follow the punctuation, at least how it is in our Bibles here. The period is there at the end of verse 6 after all that thought. I believe he's saying here, remember now thy Creator while you're still young and ambitious, you would say. Before you get to the later years of life and your energy is less and you experience some of these things that are mentioned here that go with aging. And the remembering that he's speaking of here, remember now thy Creator. And I'm sure it applies to most of the other places that we have the word used, that we're called to remember something. You know, it isn't simply referring to just a one-time remember and then forget. Like, I remember what I did yesterday, and then it kind of leaves my mind. But it's the kind of remembering, I believe, we're called to that causes us to ponder and to think about the point made here. And to go on, retaining those thoughts and that those thoughts would translate into, results in our everyday life. Remember now thy Creator. I was intrigued by the word he uses here for God. Creator. Creator is the word he uses for God. You know, God has many other names, right? Could have said, remember the Lord, or remember God Almighty, remember Jehovah. There's lots of other names for God that would fit here just fine. But Solomon chose the word Creator. And I think that's significant. You know, God created us. He made us. And, you know, that's a very basic fact that I think all of us here are, all of us here of age anyway, we know that and we're familiar with that. It's not new to us. God created us. We belong to Him because He created us. You know, there's a sense of ownership when we think of being a creator, right? At least that's how we usually think. You know, if I build something, if I, you know, I design, fabricate, build a machine, I claim ownership of that which I built, right? At least if it's a good invention anyway. You know, this is my machine. It belongs to me. You know, I might even get a patent on my design. Well, it's probably not very likely to me, because I imagine an inventor would have a few more brains than I have. But you know, I take ownership of that and call it mine. A creator takes ownership of what he created. And you know, and so I believe in calling God our creator. Remembering that God created us, you know, we're really implying by that, you know, we're not independent creatures. We don't own ourselves. We belong to someone else. And that someone else is God. And you know, some of these facts right here, I believe, are why evolution and some of those kind of theories, they appeal to carnal man, right? Because, you know, after all, if you and I, if we came into being, you know, we don't believe in a God, we don't believe God created us and everything else. This is all here by chance. And it's up to you and I to make the best of life. Live life for me. Do what I want to do. Be my boss. Because you don't answer to anyone for how you live your life. And I believe that when you do not recognize a creator, I believe it brings in some of these kinds of thoughts and many more, all kinds of carnal thoughts and actions it leads to. Remember now, a creator. We're created by God. In Him we live and move and have our being, it says in Acts 17, verse 28. It also says, remember now, thy creator. Right now, in the days of your youth, young people. Well, we could ask, why is that important? That we remember our Creator in our youth. In looking at that, you know, maybe we could say verse 7 here perhaps sums it all up, could you say, in a nutshell. Verse 7 says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. The spirit shall return unto God who gave it, it says. Remember how I said verse 1 to 6. It's one continuous sentence or thought here, I believe. You know, God is our creator. He's made us. He's given us life. He's placed us here to spend our life as we choose. You know, we have the choice how we will spend our life. God lets us have that privilege. But you know, the reality of it all is our life here. that one day it will come to an end. It had a beginning, and it will have an end, our earthly life. I know we don't always think about this as youth. We're like to. The earthly body that we have here, it says about that, it says the dust will return to the earth as it was. And you know, if that's where it stopped, you know, perhaps we won't need to consider much more. But it's, I believe it's the last part of verse 7 that is the important part. It says, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. You know, that's why it's important to remember the Creator, our Creator now, in our youth, or wherever we are in life. Because when this life is over, the spirit within us that God gave, He gave us with the ability to choose, that spirit goes back to the Creator, goes back to the one who gave it. And that spirit that each of us have, you know, will give an account to God for the choices that we made in life, whether for or against the one who created us. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, I believe it says in 2 Corinthians. You know, that's why it's important to remember our Creator today. Also, verse 9 of Ecclesiastes 11, just a couple verses back here from where we read, I believe sums it up quite well as well. It says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. The point is made that we have the choice. We can do as we please. We can live our life how we want, but we have to answer to the Creator when life is over. Another reason, as I thought about this, why to remember the Creator now in our youth is that, you know, in a lot of ways, our life is built upon the foundation we lay in our youth. And I know you can maybe find fault with that, shoot that full of holes, we could say. And I realize, you know, God's power can change anyone. God's power can change lives. Lives whose, you know, youth was wasted and so on. But you know, in many ways, our lives are indeed built off of the foundation we lay in our youth. You know, it's a little like concrete, isn't it? You know, after the concrete is hard, it's just pretty hard to change it. There at our place, down in the cellar, there's a concrete floor. And I had noticed it before the other day. We were down there. My son said, hey, look, there's cat paw prints all across this concrete floor. And there they are. There's a trail that goes across that floor. You know, some years ago, however long it was, whenever that concrete was poured, some cat strayed across the wet concrete, quite obviously. And you know, that concrete got hard, and those tracks, they're there. They're in the concrete. And you know, I probably could get those tracks. I'm not really concerned about them, okay? But if I wanted to, I probably could get them removed, don't you think? It would be a lot of work. I don't know what it would take. If you jackhammer it out, or take a grinder and grind them out, or, you know, put new concrete over top or something like that. It'd be extremely a lot of work. And if I were to try, probably the whole time I'd be wishing way back there someone would have kept that cat off the concrete or fixed it up before, you know, before it got dry. So much easier to deal with it then. And young folks, you know, where you're at in life is a lot this way. You know, the things you do, good or bad, the habits you get into, good or bad, the friends you run around with, good or bad, the words you say, good or bad, whether you realize it or not, you really are shaping the concrete, so to speak, that you will be working with for the rest of your life. You just think about that, and I can assure you, you see it a lot better in a couple of years looking back. You know, just like those cat paw prints there in the concrete, that we could get out with a lot of hard work. You know, those habits and so on that have molded your life, you can change those things later on as well, I believe, or at least to a degree. With God's help, for sure, you can overcome bad habits and so on. But you know, it's a lot easier to take care of those things, can I say, before the concrete is hard? You know what I mean? Furthermore, is it okay if I get a little practical here, young folks? Thinking about this more, about how our habits and so forth that are started when you're a youth, you know, become our the foundation we build off of. As I thought about that, you know, in trying to make it practical here, especially when it comes to dating and so on, you know, girls, when Mr. Nice Guy, could we say, you know, he wants to be your friend, wants you to be his friend, wants to date you, but maybe you find out in the course of things that, you know, this nice guy, he doesn't always respect his parents very good, or maybe, you know, at times he uses bad language, bad words slip out. You think about this point, and these things can be hard to change. And you know, if you say to yourself, and it can go either way here, you know, he's such a nice young guy, Mr. Handsome, it's not that bad, maybe you smooth it over and maybe it'll just go away. I'm going to say, it doesn't usually work that way. And there's been many, many a young girl or young fellow that has gotten married, you know, with that, thinking that, you know, I'll change this later in life. I'll work on those, you know, flaws. And I'm not just talking about personal differences, or I'm talking about issues of right and wrong. There's many a young person that has gone into marriage and thinking they'd be able to change the other for the good, and they've been bitterly disappointed when later on it failed to work out that way. So young folks, beware. Be aware. The foundation you're laying today will be what you're working off of in the future. Moving on, I'd like to look at some Bible examples this morning for us, both in the positive and the negative. And just a couple of lessons that we can learn. Actually, I don't think I plan to turn to maybe any of them. They're persons that accounts we're familiar with, I believe. The first one I have is Daniel. I'm sorry, David. You know, one of the first records I think we have of David is as a young fella. You remember the prophet Samuel coming to his town there for the feast, and you know, Jesse, his father, all his brothers, they were going to that feast. Well, where was David? He was just out doing the chores, tending the sheep, just like an ordinary day. I don't know, maybe he said, Dad, come on. Let someone else take care of those old sheep for once. I want to go along. I don't know how old David was at this point. I found that he was likely somewhere in his teens. A And you know, later on, that's what we find in David's life. He was just trustworthy and faithful in his work. He must have been because, you know, his dad, just before we have a Goliath story, remember his dad sent him to his brothers, check on, I didn't check the distance, but it was some distance away. Go check on your brothers, take all this stuff here, and take it along. And he was trustworthy. And you know, after the victory with Goliath and so on, you would have thought, I mean, if he was like me anyway, he would have thought a lot of himself. Wow, I did that. That was pretty good. We won the victory because of, you know, because of what I did and so on. Could have, you know, got a big head, could you say, over it. But we find him just faithful in doing whatever he was called to do, whether it was playing the harp for King Saul or whatever it was. And, you know, as I thought about that, you know, I think that can be how us as, you know, that can be a challenge for us as youth, can't it? Or you as youth. Maybe I shouldn't put myself in with this. But we get a little discontent maybe, right? As youth, at least I assume I wasn't so out of the ordinary. We want to chomp at the bit a little, could you say? That the ordinary work around the house or the farm or the job I'm at, just not real thrilling. I wish I was somewhere else. Or I wish, you know, life would have just dealt me a little better hand. And I realize some of those thoughts aren't just limited to youth either. But you know, young folks, I believe being faithful right where you're at is where what God would want of you. And you know, many times, just being faithful in the routine, just the unexciting, normal stuff, day to day, is how God prepares for other work that he has for you and I. You remember, King David, he was anointed there, I believe, that day that Samuel came for the feast, but I don't believe he became king for many, many years after that. And it was a long, hard road. It was anything from tending sheep to running for his life. Jesus said in Luke 16:10, familiar verse, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." Let's remember that. Wherever you wish you might be in life, just make sure to be faithful where you are right now. Another example I thought of is that of Rehoboam. And that's a negative example. You know, much of what we know or remember of Rehoboam, I believe, is negative. You know, he was the son of the wise man. Wise King Solomon that wrote this here. Or verses that we read earlier. Now, I don't know how old Rehoboam was when he became king. But you probably remember the story. If you're like me, it kind of sticks with you. But he was the new king. And all the people, they came with this request. They said, you know, your father, things were really hard. We had to work hard, pay a lot of taxes and so on. Could you ease up on this a little bit? Make life a little easier, not so heavy a yoke for us, if you would. And you remember, Rehoboam, he went to the old men that had counseled, been his father's counselors, and asked, "What should I do here?" And they gave him advice. They said, You do that. You ease up on things a little bit. And you know what? You treat them like that, they will serve you. They will serve you forever, I think they said. He heard that advice. And he went to the young fellas, just the ones he grew up with, his peers. And he said, no. Show these people what you're made of. You're tough. You're not going to be pushed around like this. And this is what you tell them. And he listened to them. And remember the story. He ended up taking the advice of his buddies. And there was chaos. Remember, just pieces flew everywhere. Well, what do you think the moral of that story could be for us, for you here as young folks? I think we can safely conclude that many times, and this doesn't just stop at youth, many times the folks older than us have good advice for us. You know, I know as young folks sometimes we start to think in that, the older generation, they're just a little outdated, you know, and not up to speed with modern ways of doing things. Well, young folks, be careful. Be ready to listen to older ones' advice. Maybe you think, you know, I can't wait till I'm out on my own. I'm going to do stuff different, not old-fashioned like dad and mom, not so old school and so on. Ephesians 6, 1 and 2 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." Maybe there's much we could say about that, but you know, very likely in a few years, if not less than that, and it's sooner than you might think, you will likely be on your own, quite likely. And if you choose, you can probably choose different than that. But you know, sometimes when you get there, you realize that, you know what, mom and dad, they weren't so far off as what I first thought. And you know, whatever the case, I believe the Bible still calls us, this goes for any age, the Bible still calls us to honor our dad and mom. And in the meantime, young folks, if you're under their roof, obey them. I also thought of the example of Joseph. He was sold there as a slave down to Egypt, just a young fellow. And we remember that story, and he had that temptation to sin. You know, he could have said, "I'm down here in Egypt. No one will ever know. Everyone else down here has no morals. I might as well just be like them. Might as well join them." But no, he stood for right and all by himself. You know, young person this morning, how would you have fared in Joseph's shoes? How about it today? Are you standing on God's word and for the right, even when no one else is around or will know? Let's be challenged by that. Also, the example of Daniel. Remember, he was carried off to Babylon there as a young person. He could have said, "Well, I guess this is Babylon, the stuff we used to do at home back there at Jerusalem. That's not going to work for us here. They want us to eat this other meat and this other drink here. Guess that's what we're going to have to do." But no, him and his three friends there, they purposed in their heart that they would not defile themselves, that they would do what God had commanded. They resolved that's what they were going to do, and God made a way for them. You know, I wonder if Daniel's three friends would have still been resolute and stood up for the right if Daniel would have given in to what was asked of them, or the other way around. You know, there was a whole multitude of other youths, I believe, that went along with the program, I believe. that caved in and just ate the king's meat and drank the drink. They didn't stand for the right. Daniel and his friends could have easily just joined right in with them. But the point I want to make, the lesson I want to take here is that, young folks, we all like friends, right? No matter the age of life. But young folks, surround yourself with good friends. Friends that are going to help you in the right. You know, it seems there's always, in any crowd, it seems like there's those that will take you the other way. That influence for the wrong. But avoid those kind of friends. But seek for friends that will help you stand for right and true. Maybe a few more few verses yet here before we close. You can turn to 1 Timothy 4. Now we didn't look at many other verses here. A couple verses here I want. 1 Timothy 4, I believe Paul wrote this to Timothy. Verse 12 and 13 I want here. He says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." Yeah, there's much more that would apply and would be good to read. And I realize that in these verses, Paul is talking to Timothy as a young church leader as well, not just a youth. And I'm not sure of his age. I like to picture him maybe being my age or somewhere in there. But he says, "Let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example of believers." And like I said, I think some of these exhortations to Timothy are because of his role as leader. But I like to say, youth, that this can apply to you as well. You know, I really believe that few things speak as loud as young people who stand for what's true and right. I just really feel that way. I think there's hardly a better testimony left for Jesus Christ and his church than when the world looks on and says, "Oh, there's young folks that are serious about life. They're serious about doing what's right. They're serious about following Jesus," and so on. You see, the world expects something different from youth. The world expects young people, quite frankly, to follow youthful lusts, like we find written in the book of 2 Timothy. Paul tells Timothy to flee youthful lusts. But that's what they expect young people to be following. You know, they expect youth to be disobedient, pleasure-seeking, irresponsible, careless, maybe a little rowdy or wild, maybe more than just a little. Whatever, you know, other word you might put in there. And if you doubt that or don't believe me on that, you know, just for example, ask any insurance company for a policy for car insurance when you're 17 or 18 versus when you're 10 years older than that. In my experience, you'll find it substantially higher cost for the teenager. You know, they just expect teenagers to be high risk, and you can go on there. So I say, you know, when the world sees faithful, godly young folks, I believe it's a real testimony, it's a real light for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I just want to commend you young folks here this morning for what you do here. And as you endeavor to be this kind of youth, and I hope this message wasn't too much criticism and warning and so on, but I hope it was encouraging as well. Be an example of the believers, Paul says, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity, in your speech, in your conduct. out of a pure heart, and so on. You know, it's all things that the world expects. They expect differently of youth. Verse 13, I like here. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. You know, because that's the only way you as youth or any of us can be an example in these things that we have here. And that is to stay close to God. Give attendance to reading. Stay close to the Word of God. Read it. Study it. Memorize it. It's what we all need as Christians to be true and faithful, young or old. Young folks, remember now thy Creator. You know, the enemy of our souls likes to say, don't be so serious about it. You have plenty of time. Live the way you want to for a few years here. And then you can get serious about living for God. I want to tell you, young folks, that's an old trick. That's an old trick. I believe Felix was like that. And Paul, remember he was talking to him. He said, it says he trembled. And I believe Paul's preaching convicted him in his life. He said, go your way. When I have a more convenient season, I'll call you again. Well, that's the kind of trick. That's what Satan wants. That's what he tells you. I'll live for myself now, and we'll get serious about life and about serving God later on. Well, I want to tell you, it just never gets more convenient. Well, God bless you, youth, each one of you, as you strive to live for Jesus today. And I hope these thoughts could have been encouraging thoughts for you as you endeavor to be a light and live for Jesus here. Let's kneel for prayer.